Welcome back to the Weekly Manga Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about all of your favorite ongoing Japanese manga. This week, we are talking about the ending of another great romance anime, My Dress Up Darling. We have a new series hot off the tails of one of the worst endings of all time with Aka Akasaka's Marching Crown. And finally, the author of Mama Yu Yu is back with a one-shot called My Sister, My Stuck Butt, and Me. All that manga news and more coming right up. Hello again, my name is Bruce. I am the proprietor of the White Grey Black YouTube channel. This week, I am joined once again by my constant co-host, Gautam.
Hello, hello.
A special shout out and thanks to our Patreon subscribers, Yaji Black. If you want to have your name right at the top of the episode, see some bonus content, join a bonus chat, check out patreon.com/WGBmanga. It starts at only $3. Gautam, endings are hard, don't you think?
No, they're super easy. I can do one in my sleep.
Why are they all so bad then?
I don't know. So is this one bad? Okay, for context, I haven't caught up on this.
This is My Dress Up Darling. This is chapter 115. This is the final chapter of the series. The chapter itself is fine. The problem is that the last, I don't know, four chapters rushed through everything, didn't tie up any of the sort of threads that were laid out. And basically the discussions that I'm hearing are essentially that Fukuda Shinichi has health problems. The sort of last year or so before this, they changed the publication schedule to monthly. Before that, they went to biweekly. This used to be, I think, a weekly series due to those health problems. So this, I think, essentially was I have to get out because my health is failing me and I want to just finish it on my own terms. And you know, it was not the best, but it ended on their terms. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. God, this is like more and more. This is like it feels like making manga is just not a sustainable career in the long run. Right. You kind of have to get your magnum opus out quick or do something else, because it's like these people work themselves to death. But
yeah,
I digress. Tell me about the ending.
So the chapter before this was a very kind of frustratingly short. They're Marin and Wakaba are on the beach and they say they love you and they want to spend together and let's spend our lives together and look towards the future, blah, blah, blah. This chapter is a time skip. We see kind of here on the left page that they've got like an internal studio. There's a bunch of cosplay stuff. There's swords, etc. Oops, that's the wrong direction. The podcast goes left to right, even though you read manga right to left. I gotta remember that. there's some pictures here, obviously, of like, this is their wedding in the bottom left, right? This is kind of a traditional Japanese wedding dress. And, you know, we get adult Marin, which is like, okay, people are gonna be flipping out about this. They're kind of talking about a news segment that Wakaba's gonna be on for the Hina dolls that he paints. Her grandpa's still alive, or his grandpa, sorry, is still alive, so that's all good. We get a little bit of like, oh, one of their old friends has children and here's Marin, you know, doing modeling work on a panel, you know, in a subway or something. So that's kind of cute. You know, they're watching TV to see this thing that Wakaba's doing and he's getting nervous. He's embarrassed. She kind of goes like, hey, remember you told me you wanted to make Hina dolls that anyone could recognize and that you made them just like that doll you showed me. She's like, that's what you did. You're going to be on the news for the Hina dolls. Blah, blah, blah. And then Wakaba reflects on, in the same classroom, I can't believe I never imagined I'd get to do this. Very saccharine, very typical kind of like time skip. Who would have known? Reflect to the first chapter, flashback to characters we knew previously with that person, our guest today, blah, blah, blah. And then they get to like celebrate and eat. And it's all very, everything's great. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of how it ends. That's it.
That seems like a kind of like the standard ending.
Yeah, it was very, that's what I'd say, right? Is that the chapter itself, there's nothing really wrong with it. It was really just the lead up before this that kind of skipped all of these open threads that people thought were really interesting and that I was kind of excited to explore, like the author of the manga where Marin cosplayed, the really difficult cosplay, and Wakaba made it, that unfortunately just doesn't go anywhere. Like, that just ends, and they don't get to explore that, even though there was hints of, like, the author finding out, the author says no one can cosplay his character, it's impossible, but, you know, people saying that Marin was, you know, the embodiment and the best cosplayer ever and all this stuff. Marin doesn't cosplay in the future because she said she didn't want to at the end for some reason. Like, that's kind of the connection there, and she was just like, I don't know if I want to cosplay all the time, I'll do other stuff. And Wakaba does his Hina dolls and she does modeling, and there's still some cosplay stuff obviously, but
why did she ditch cosplaying, because she loved it so
I don't know, man.
Oh, that's not explained. Okay,
not enough detail to be satisfying, I guess I will say, because like I said, gotcha. the last you know, sort of like 4 or 5 chapters, it was really a rush. Like, they was very quick. They just kind of, there was a really good confession. I think we talked about that maybe 5 or 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It was a really good confession. And the chapter after that is Marin kind of like, I have to tell everybody. And then everybody, there's a reaction of like, everyone's like, wait, you two weren't already dating? Everybody thought you were already dating. It's like, no. And then after that, it's sort of like, okay, close off all the story beats, and they have their little time on the beach of like, what do we want to do in the future? Here's what we're going to do. It's different and doesn't have anything to do with where we thought the story was going. And then it's this chapter and then it's over. Like, that was what
happened. Got it. Because I guess like, out of context, right? Because I haven't read this in a while. This seems like an okay ending to me. It seems like just like a normal sweet ending. Yeah. It seems like pretty good. But this is because I completely lacked the context that it was rushed and that there was a lot of plot beats that were still in the pot that didn't get fully played out. Yeah.
And that's the real issue. The ending, I think, is bad for this. This chapter is fine. Like this is being sort of the skip chapter. It's like, it's a fine chapter, you know? Now there is going to be
in a vacuum.
Yeah. They do say there's going to be a side story and an epilogue in the near future. And they say, check out the anime rebroadcast. I do wonder if the author here maybe lets the anime maybe do a little bit more, because the anime is also very popular, you know, that kind of caused the series to pop off. So it might be one of these things where you get an Attack on Titan where the anime is kind of the definitive version, where their things are a little bit more fleshed out, you know, maybe season 3, season 4, you know, there's new stuff. Maybe they create anime original storylines to close stuff off, and then it's better. And then you can tell people, you know, like, oh yeah, My Dress Up Darling, watch the anime. Don't read the manga, because the manga just ends.
I think everybody gets one shot at these kinds of things. Side stories and epilogues can make an already good thing better, but I feel like your whole audience is watching up until the moment your story ends, and then that's it for most people. Yeah. And then you get some people coming back for the side stories or the epilogues, right? Like, Delicious in Dungeon had, like, an immaculate ending and story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it has, like, really fun side stories, but I bet, like, 2% of the people who have read or watched Delicious in Dungeon have seen the side stories, right?
Yeah, the bonus content stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the nature of these things. So I feel like you kind of have to, it's like what you put on paper after the pencils are down, that's what you submitted, kind of a thing, for the public zeitgeist, at least.
Yeah, I tend to agree. My opinion of Dress Up Darling is tainted by the ending. I still think this is, I would suggest that people read this if you are interested in a fairly mature romance with some great art in it. I still think this is a pretty good series, right? Like, lackluster ending, but like, it isn't so bad that it's like, oh, like, it isn't Oshinoko levels of you've character assassination destroyed everyone. It's just kind of like, well, a bunch of stuff is left open. It's not really resolved and it ends abruptly, right? Like, which is the story of a lot of romances, right? Like, this happened with Nagatoro last year around the same time, right? Where it was sort of like, you know, so we got a confession, some stuff happened, and then it just kind of ends in like 6 or 7 chapters. And it's just like, okay, well, there was more to see there, we all thought, but then no, there isn't. So,
yeah, I'm with you. And I do wonder if, like, Oshinoko's ending being such a slap in the face is what it fucking felt like. Is, like, maybe it's making me feel, like, nicer towards, or, like, just more positive towards, like, middling endings.
Where it's like, yeah, I know, I agree completely. You read it and you're like, well, it's not as bad as Oshinoko ending, so it's fine, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I think it's disappointing for different reasons. It's disappointing because there were things left open that I thought would be really interesting to explore. And I think this writer is strong enough to explore those things, because the things that they did do in the manga, I think, are really, really good, really well written character stuff and, you know, exploration.
It's totally valid. You're disappointed because you liked the thing. You felt the ending was rushed. You just wanted more of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that that speaks volumes of the writer was good at what they did. They just had circumstances where they had to end this early and it kind of suffered for it. But
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's tough.
Cool. Yeah. Any other questions or anything? We don't have to talk about this one too long.
The grandpa's alive, man. Look at that guy.
Yeah. I mean, this time skips like what, maybe 6 years. he was old, but he was, I don't know, 60s or something. But yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He made it.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Nothing else here.
All right. Let's move on. Speaking of Aka Akasaka, let's move on to the second thing of the discussion here. This is March and Crown, which is a series, a fantasy series written, at least partially written by Aka Akasaka. There's also someone named Aoi Kujira, who I couldn't find too much information on. They've, I think, done some doujins and some one-shots. And then also Azuchika, who you might know as the artist from Shumetsu no Valkyrie and Record of Ragnarok, is the
artist. No wonder I love the art. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked great.
Cool. Gautam, how'd you feel about these? Technically, this is a chapter zero and a chapter one, but they're both kind of presented together. So how'd you feel about this, the start of this series? Does it leave you curious to read more?
I don't know yet. I mean, like, it was pretty good. I liked the beginning and middle of it.
Oh, okay, not the twist.
you know, it's funny. Like, as I was reading through, I was just enjoying the story of Rapunzel. I was just like, wow, this is like a charming little story. I'm having a good time. Rapunzel is very cute. I was just having a kind of a fun time with the story, just the stock standard story of Rapunzel. And then the twist happened, and I'm like, oh right, this isn't going to be played straight. And the twist was interesting. Don't get me wrong, but I guess I'm not sure where it goes from here. So I don't have an opinion on it yet. I'm curious. Like, the next chapter will kind of, once it defines the story structure a bit better, or once it has more space to define the story structure, I'll know if I'm like is super into this or not.
Because pretty much chapter zero was lulling us into false sense of security, and then chapter one was a twist. So we don't really know what this is going to do with that twist now. So
by the way, this is like a very Kingdom Hearts-esque cover, right? With like the different princesses and like the stained glass pane in the background.
Yep.
It's like a very Kingdom Hearts looking thing. What did you think, Bruce? Did you like it?
I had a little bit different opinion to think. I was pretty bored with it's essentially a straight retelling of the story of Rapunzel for 40 of the 60 pages, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, so, which is a story I've heard. And I think Tangled is perhaps the best animated movie that Disney's ever made.
Oh, for sure. Very good.
Maybe not necessarily Pixar, because Disney Animation made it, but Tangled is an absolutely fantastic movie. I'm, you know, intimately familiar with Germanic and European fantasy. You know, it's something you, as a white guy, you just grow up being told. You know, I've heard the story before. They tell it exactly by the books. There's really nothing new in there. It just kind of, to me, it was just kind of going step by step. So the twist to me was more exciting. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I am left with the same questions that you are with it, which is, what are they going to actually do with this? And what angle is it? Is this kind of a horror angle? I don't even really know where they go after this. I'm curious to see it. It is exciting to me to read more, because I think it's an interesting, fun twist. But I was pretty bored, and then I thought it was good. That art's gorgeous in it. And then it was sort of like, oh, cool, a twist. What's going to happen?
What's the dude's name? Mikhail?
Something like that. Does he even need a name? He's so boring. He's boring until he's not. And then.
Yeah. It's like, what is he saying in these stories? Like, that can make this seem like how can you tell a story about like your blacksmith father and your uncle and shit, and omit like primary details like this. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, my village is actually plagued by these husks covered in eternal darkness. I forgot to mention that. Sorry about that.
Let's click through the pages and get there. Yeah. We can talk about it. Okay. So yeah, like I mentioned, it's just, you know, it's a very fairy tale, all this stuff. It's the story of Rapunzel. You know, she has Wicked Witch in a tower. Don't leave the tower. There's a boy.
So I wonder. Story of Rapunzel, they call her the witch, but Rapunzel thought that the witch was her mom. Like Rapunzel calls her the witch as well. Like they both refer to her as like the Wicked Witch or whatever.
But yeah,
I thought Rapunzel had thought that the witch was her mother and not like a witch.
She might. She either thinks it's her mom or her aunt. I don't remember who.
In like actual Rapunzel story.
Yeah. Oh, in the actual Rapunzel story? No, in the actual Rapunzel story, she's just like taken captive and put up there. But like everyone knows it's an evil witch. I think so.
I think I'm just confusing Tangled because I think
it's a little different in Tangled. Yeah. There's a little bit more nuance there. So I do wonder, there is something here, right? This is just sort of Rapunzel thing. There's a little bit of foreshadowing on second look here. You do have the witch saying the world outside is filled with wicked people and terrible, frightening things. So one interesting thing they might do here is that if the witch, quote unquote, is the correct and right one in trying to keep Rapunzel safe, maybe she's, you know, potentially a good guy character or someone who we follow. They think she's a wicked witch, but she's the good guy. Maybe it's that. They do also. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Presumably. I was more or less agreeing because we saw what the village looked like.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting here is that they call Mikkel a mischievous young lad. So the other part of it, and we'll see when we get to the end, is I wonder if he is just sort of like, haha, I found a girl trapped in a tower. I'm going to fake make her fall in love with me and, you know, scare her with these demon things from my hometown or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, I have a feeling he might be lying about almost everything, right? It could be.
I think he's earnest, and I'll circle back around to why I think he's earnest.
I think it's a possibility,
I think the mischievous is because he just does casual B&E. He just breaks and enters into this tower.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're supposed to think. So I think that is potentially likely. Again, gorgeous art here. Mikkel meeting Rapunzel. I do wonder too, because the witch has she looks like she is a character that is designed wearing a hood. So she doesn't look like sort of like a no name. Like she's
a Dark Souls like fire keeper.
Yeah. She's incredibly busty, which makes me think that there's a reason for that.
The reason that she's busty? Maybe. I don't know.
If you wanted to just have a Wicked Witch character and be kind of hide her face, like you just dress her in all black and everything's covered up and you go, ooh, creepy Wicked Witch. But like she covers everything. Only her eyes and hair is covered, right? So
I think they just wanted some fan service, bro. Potentially. Like, let's make her hot.
Record of Ragnarok does have some of that in it too, I think, right?
For sure.
Yeah. He like brings her a flower and he's like, you're lovely and fair, just like this, the Multiflora. He says, I'm Mikkel, son of the blacksmith. They became friends. He dropped by. It's, you know, if you're familiar with Rapunzel, it's the same story, right? She gets sad that the flower dies because she doesn't know that flowers die. This is kind of a dumb plot point. Like, she has a window. She can see like the passing of seasons and see that trees and stuff die. Maybe, I don't know. It's just kind of like whatever.
Think this is like representative of the village. It's like, that's why they made a big deal out of the flower.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's a good point. Yeah. And it's also sort of like, she feels guilty because she thinks, oh, the witch, it's the witch's curse. I did something wrong, so she killed my flower. They all wilt eventually. Yeah. So we get up and, you know, he's like, I'll take you, you know, put on my shoes and I'll take you away. Again, standard Rapunzel story. Gorgeous art. They get out. They like confess their love to each other. It all goes very quickly. You know, do everlasting happiness. He's like, I love you. And Rapunzel loves him and all this. This is the end of chapter one, right? The real story would begin several months after their first meeting. And now we get chapter
real
one.
Real quick. I think this is another kind of foreshadowing, or not foreshadowing, but kind of telling you the plot is, Rapunzel, made a wish, may these incredibly happy days last forever and ever, everlasting happiness, as long as we both shall live.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think this all circles back around when we get to the ending. We can talk about like all this, but just pointing it out for now.
I didn't notice that, but that's definitely a good one. I didn't notice the as long as we both shall live, because that's a
that's a
dissonant chord plays in the background, like
bling, yeah, like, exactly.
Be scared.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we get now chapter one, kind of an ironic title, The World You Longed For. So he's like, yeah, you want to come to my village? She's very happy and cute. Yeah, I want to meet everyone you told me so much about. And they sort of, they leave and they travel. He's like, Rapunzel thought, may the happiness I feel now last for eternity. Please let me be together with this person for all eternity. So again, this might be another thing where it's like, he might be a bad dude and he might like stalk her or sort of like chase her down or something. He says, Rapunzel, you know, welcome to my village. And the art continues being good. A very striking page turn here. And he's kind of like, yeah. Haha, how do you like it? It's small but peaceful, right? My house is right over there. And then we basically see these like thorn demon things. Like, yeah. I don't even know. It's like, oh, it's horror shit is what it is.
Yeah. So. This like humanoid husk creature. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's with, like covered in thorns. Yeah. It looks and sick.
It also like speaks, right? And Mikhail like understands it or says, he's like, huh? Yeah. He's like, so I'll introduce her to you to like, yeah. So, and there's, you know, an eye under there that's kind of like bloodshot and creepy. So she's like immediately scared. He's also just like, this is a weird thing where he just like hits him with a stick and is like, sorry about that. My uncle's a little shy. He gets a little funny when he sees somebody doesn't know. I think he tries to grab Rapunzel is what happens here.
Right.
He's like, here, hold this. If you whack him, he'll behave. And she's got like blood on her face. From the,
yeah.
And her like just like melting eye. And she's just like, nope, I'm out of here. Like runs away. He's like, what's the matter, Rapunzel? You finally got to see after being locked up all this time for the first time in your life. It's the world outside. Which again kind of lines up with the foreshadowing with the witch I mentioned, where it's like she said the world outside is evil and bad and is trying to protect her from it. And I think she's right in this case. And he says, don't worry, guys, Rapunzel is on our side. And they're like zombies, like plant zombies. And that's the end of the series. So this is the twist that we were all kind of talking about.
I think there are a few things to note, and I'm not sure how they tie in. Maybe we'll piece it together when we talk about it right now. But there was the flower where he mentions all things wilt and kind of fade away.
Yeah.
These people clearly didn't. They are rotting plant monsters.
Yes.
That ties in. My theory is that they're probably just these immortal entities that have lived too long, are just like shambling mounds at this point. Especially with all of the talk of being together for eternity.
Yeah.
So much eternity, forever and ever talk. It kind of, you know how in Elden Ring, like things atrophy over time despite being alive.
Are you, you're thinking these people used to be alive and part of his village and something happened and he was like, I need to keep them alive and they're cursed now because of that. That's kind of where I'm.
Yeah. I think it's like a village curse where they're just eternally alive and but they're like undead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But the undead is like the wilted flower, which is a good connection. So
yeah, despite being alive, they're all wilted and whatever the burden of eternity. And there are a ton of ravens and crows symbolizing death.
Yep, it's just darkness, bad stuff. You think that Mikhail is? Are you thinking that he is earnest in the sense that he's grown up in this, let's call it an evil world. He's familiar with it. He accepts it and kind of, you know, understands that this is how the world is. Even though these people look evil to other people, they're, you know, my family or my village or whatever. So when he brings Rapunzel out, he's being honest when he says, like, this is the outside world you wanted to see. Like, this is it. Like,
yeah.
Like, what's the matter? You wanted to see this. Like, this is what you said you wanted to see. It's this scary place that I'm used to because I've been here all my life.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is his normal. And the reason I think he's not trying to, like, deceive Rapunzel is because of what he says at the end to the zombies when she's not around. Don't worry, guys. Rapunzel's on our side.
I think you're probably right. That it's probably more of like, this is his normal, and so he's not freaked out by it. But Rapunzel, it is scary to her. It's scary to us because this is not our normal. So,
yeah, I think that is the case here. But with that said, we don't know anything. Like,
yeah,
this is speculation. I think we might be close to what it actually is, what the reason actually is, but.
Yeah,
no idea, but there are other princesses in the background.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, is that do we think the next chapter is maybe just a, here's the story of another princess who's in this some evil, awful, wicked world, or is it we keep going with Rapunzel and the team of plucky princesses who've been, you know, fighting against their, you know, evil version of their fairy tale, find Rapunzel and bring her in, and she's the, you know, the newbie on the team or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of ways this could go.
There is a lot of ways it can go. I wonder what the relevancy, this is clearly not the Rapunzel story. Otherwise it would have been not called like Fairy Tale Crown or whatever. I'm curious as to if they split this off to the other princesses after Rapunzel's part of this is like done and do like a 12-way story or six-way story until all of them meet up.
Yeah, or it could be even just more of a serial thing, right? Like we might just get like, it might be, you know, one volume of Rapunzel and then we might get one volume of, you know, Sleeping Beauty and one volume of whatever other princesses exist that I can't think of right
now. Snow White,
yeah. Like it might just be something like that, right? Where it's like, hey, every volume is like a fairy tale gone wrong and it, you know, is some weird evil comes into it and then maybe it's tied together like at the end. It could be something like that where it's kind of more serial separated.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Either way, I think I hope next chapter we kind of learn more on the village side of things, because how did Mikkel tell these like charming stories to Rapunzel, and they sounded like a blast to her?
Yeah.
But they're all like plant monsters, right? And how do they have conventional jobs? Like, how can one be a blacksmith and be a plant monster?
Yeah, or like, oh, his scary cat gravekeeper, like his father, the blacksmith. I think this is probably like we're talking about. It's like, well, that's his normal, right? Like they communicate, you know, he thinks they're a scaredy cat because everyone's weird and broken and rotten. But well, you can tell the difference between one being a scaredy cat and one not. So, I
anticipate that this isn't just like something Mikkel is like he was raised with. So he's like, OK, this is our normal situation.
Yeah,
and now that I'm thinking about it more, because he and Rapunzel look like normal human beings, he should know that these people are looking funky.
That something is wrong. Yeah, yeah.
That something is wrong here.
I can see that. Yeah,
I think something's up with Mikkel, but not necessarily that he is being duplicitous towards her in this moment. But I think he's like, I don't know. He's in on this in some way that probably makes him a bad guy.
I'm like, gonna assume too. Yeah, yeah. That Mikkel is, and I think that all of this, like, we're gonna be together forever and ever. I think this is gonna be like Mikkel is gonna like, you're mine. Like we're gonna be together forever, right? Like you can't leave. Exactly. Like that kind of horror also kind of I think is going along.
Yeah,
with this,
let me put this plant curse on you, and then we could be together forever.
You'll live forever if I make you into a plant zombie. So let me make you into a plant zombie. And then she's like, hell no.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a good choice, but yeah, I'm curious to see. I think the next chapter will tell us a little bit more.
Our buxom hot witch is a good guy.
I can see two things. I can see her being potentially another princess who like went through saw the evil world, you know, 20 years ago, and now she's kind of grown up and she was trying to help Rapunzel. Or I could just see her being like, well, they call me the Wicked Witch, but I'm the good guy. Like the world sucks and I was trying to protect you from it. Now you see that. And so I'm right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to protect you. I actually am trying to take care of you and protect you. Like, you know,
these plant zombies really ran a hell of a campaign against the witch.
Yeah. Well, and Mikkel, I think he mentions, you know, like, oh, the Wicked Witch is here. And, you know, he calls her that a couple times. And Rapunzel also, you know, calls her a Wicked Witch. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting because he was like, I thought it was like, Mikkel was like, oh, the Wicked Witch is not completely wrong. It's just, she's like, but she's not completely right either. You know, it's like, so she's like half agreeing.
Yeah.
What is your deal, Mikkel? Let's get more into you. You crazy fucker.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested. We'll see.
I think the witch fucks off for most of this chapter to go help the main character in Dark Souls level up.
I mean, so that might be what this is, right? Is that she, you know, the the witch is searching for her, runs into her, is like, I told you shit's bad, let me protect you now. And then they're on the run and evil stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
All Rapunzel needs to say is, you could have communicated literally any of this.
You could have told me there were evil plant zombies. I will draw them for you. This, you don't.
Yeah. Any amount of specificity would have helped.
Yeah. Like, imagine
a small degree.
Yeah, imagine being born to the world of, like, The Walking Dead, and no one will tell you, like, if you go outside, these are the undead, this is what they look like, you have to act like this. They're just like, oh, the outside's evil, don't go outside the tower, it's bad, it's bad. And then you get out and you're like, you could have told me there were zombies. Like, that's, you should have said that.
You know, just trust me, bro, isn't good enough sometimes.
Yeah. So cool, yeah. Anything else on Martian Crown here?
Actually, I take back what I said at the beginning. I'm more interested after talking about it. Tends to be the case sometimes, because I didn't like notice the themes of like eternity as apparently. I noticed like some of them, but not how frequently they kept bringing it up and how undeath plays into all of this.
And the together forever zombie kind of connection. Yeah. Like, like you're saying. Yeah.
So I'm more interested now. I'm looking forward to the second one.
Cool. Yeah, I am too. I am always pulling for Akka because he has written some great stuff, even if his endings left things to be desired.
Dude, real talk, I don't trust him.
He's got me fooled again, because he's got two other collaborators this time. So, and I think one of them is on writing, because the artist, I think, is only Azuchika, right, is the artist, but I think that Aoi Kujira, I think that's an author. So maybe this is something that Akka's just kind of like, ooh, here's a fun idea, let me write one of them, and then you can write the rest. And I don't know, I'll give him the benefit of a doubt, because he is only 33% of this by name, and he was 50% of Oshinoko by name, and so
you
maybe,
know, despite it all, he's still a good writer. He's a really good writer.
Yeah, exactly. That's I think my thing is, like, you know what. I enjoyed reading Oshinoko for like 3.5 years. Like, I did not enjoy Oshinoko until the final 2 months. Like, so that's a lot of enjoyable, good reading and writing that there was there. So if he wants to pull me along and let me down on the final stretch, sure, man. It's still a lot of good reading ahead of me. So,
you know what? I'll put it this way then, because you're right. I trust Akka to make a creative, unique, and well-written story. Until he gets bored of it.
Yes.
And then we all got to watch out.
Yeah, basically. All right, cool. That's Marching Ground. That's on Manga Plus. Check that out. Last thing on the agenda here is a one-shot by the previous author of Mama Yu Yu by Yoshihiko Hayashi. This is called My Sister, My Stuck Butt, and Me. Yatsu and I both were pretty varying degrees of positive and interested in Mama Yu Yu until it kind of got, you know, tried to kind of pivot to do other things and then got canceled. And, you know, it wasn't a great sort of end of that series that didn't last super long. But I do think that they had interesting ideas and told some interesting things. Gautam, how did you feel about this My Sister, My Stuck Butt, and Me one shot?
The sequel to podcast My Brother, and Me. I liked it. I thought it was bizarre.
Yeah.
And it was like slightly heartwarming. I more or less just had a good time with it overall, because it wasn't necessarily a tearjerker, but it wasn't trying to be. It was kind of like this goofy, fun little slice of life about two sisters who love each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I appreciated that for what it was. What did you think?
I think the parts that the sort of way you summarized and pointed out, I thought that that was the real strength of this. And I thought that some of the other stuff was weak, which kind of mirrored Mama Yu Yu a little bit, where the interesting dynamics were the character things and the non-interesting stuff was the fantasy power level stuff. I think it's the same for this.
Yeah,
for me.
I agree. It's the same for me. I actually groaned a little bit when the fantasy stuff cropped up. I'm like, I actually felt like I didn't need it. In this story.
I legitimately think the story is like just as good or better if it's just kind of a girl gets stuck in the wall and her sister comes and, you know,
yeah,
helps her not be embarrassed, and then they both get out and it's fine. Like, that I think is a better, stronger story than what we were given. I still think it's pretty good.
It was still fun. It was still a fun story. Yeah. But I agree that I probably would have omitted the fantasy because I was having a good time even without it.
Yeah.
But even with the fantasy, it got way goofier with the fantasy aspect. And I didn't dislike that either. I thought that was fun too. But
yeah,
I agree with you there.
It's interesting that sometimes authors, like talking about novel authors and some people I've read and heard talk about writing, a lot of times they like a certain type of thing that they read a lot of and they think, oh, like... there's an author named Dan Wells, who's good friends with Brandon Sanderson, who I mentioned a lot on the podcast, who writes high fantasy and does tons of fantasy stuff. Dan Wells grew up reading and loving fantasy and thought he was going to be a fantasy author and tried to write a bunch of fantasy stuff that failed. And then he tried to write kind of a horror thriller and it like took off and is successful. And he's like a primarily kind of a thriller horror writer now. So that I say all that kind of as an example to say that I feel like Yoshihiko Hayashi is probably someone who is meant to not do fantasy, might be my call. Because I think that the strengths that they have are not particularly suited to fantasy. And also, I think that their skill at executing fantasy is much less than their skill at just writing good characters, which, like, both of those things can exist at the same time. But when I think the characters are really compelling and the resolution and their interactions are great, but the fantasy stuff you introduced, I do not like that's, there's an issue and there's a disconnect there for me. So maybe this is Hayashi needing to try a different, like try just a regular slice of life and see how you like it. Maybe with a, you know, not fantasy or very small amount of fantasy. So I don't know.
You know, what I kind of felt, is that the author is like an incredibly good character writer, good at writing emotional beats, but is afraid to play something too straight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there needs to be a subversion or a defiance of expectation, right?
Or because
even
some,
Mama Yu Yu was a whole subversion on the fantasy genre, because it was a modern fantasy with like 8 different subversions on the normal fantasy tropes of heroes and demon kings and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good call. I also think that there's something called like the strange attractor. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. The strange attractor is like when you're trying to sell your book or your idea, it's like, well, what's the, you know, it's Iron Man meets, you know, Paw Patrol, or it's, you know, it's this and this, and it's different because it's these two things you haven't seen together, or it's different because it subverts this idea, or it's different because this. And sometimes that gets in the way of a good idea because things don't have to be different. They just have to be good.
Yeah.
Hat on a hat. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Like, you don't need to hat on a hat. Sometimes just wear a hat and it looks good. Yeah, exactly.
But again, like, I saw all of the things I thought were very well done in Mama Yu Yu in this one shot. I think this author just has talent.
I think they do too. I really hope that they find like something that utilizes their talent well. I did think one of the things I was watching out for was the paneling, because I thought that the creative paneling in Mama Yu Yu was the strongest that Jump has probably seen in probably a decade, if not more. And I thought the paneling here is above average, but there was nothing super special, which kind of let me down, I think.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just a lot of time and work that comes with like thinking of those panels, and they're like, this is a one shot, nobody noticed when I did it in Mama Yu Yu.
I hope not, because I thought that was a real big part of their talent, was how creative some of that paneling and stuff was. And there's really good paneling that's really different in this series, but it isn't as sort of creative and out there as it was in Mama Yu Yu. So
yeah,
cool. Sure. Let's click through this real quick and we can talk about some specific points.
Sure.
So yeah, two sisters here, 6 years apart. The younger sister, Mari, she's kind of a little bit more of an outspoken girl. She dyes her hair, obviously. Another thing I will say is that, and Mama, you had this too, is that the characters seem pretty interesting. Like this, like, oh, like
the
this
teacher guy,
of, right? Teacher guy seems cool. Like, he's in it for like 2 scenes and it's like, teacher seems cool. Like, he seems interesting. But she's, the younger sister is kind of more, I would say, more normal and outgoing. And the older sister is like a super genius who's distant emotionally, right? Like, so.
And she won, like, I think, like, a Nobel Prize every week for a while there. She has like multiple Nobel Prizes under her belt.
I think they say she got a Nobel Prize at like 14, and then she got one every year after that. They only get once a year. So it's like she has four Nobel Prizes at 18, right? Which is like insane.
It's just very funny because she's like, a very famous person is going to come all the way from America to meet with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think there's anyone in this world who's more famous than you right now for Nobel Prize winning 16-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, like, you must be the most famous person. But
the biggest fantasy element of the whole thing is this girl won the Nobel Prize at 14 and then won three more. Like,
but we get to see why. We get to see why.
We do, yeah. So this is, Maki kind of reminisces, is like, oh, you know, her sister drew a picture of her and it was important. And she, you know, kind of, she is very attached to that picture. So it, reminiscing again, really good character stuff here. Yeah. And it's really, it was good visual storytelling for these pages that I don't have all of them in here, but she just like, you know, gets sad about it. She doesn't say like, I miss when my sister could express her love for me. She's just very much like, my sister did one thing that connected with me and I feel like she doesn't anymore. And I think she doesn't like me like that. It doesn't say any of that. It just like communicates it through visuals. So.
Yeah. And you see there's more where the sister's always there for her when she was growing up too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but their relationship has, and it doesn't like outwardly say it, that the reason why they don't get along when the younger sister became a teenager, but because it's inherently obvious to anyone who's been there or with reading comprehension skills, right? Is that it's hard when your sister is like a 5-time Nobel Peace Prize winner or Nobel Prize winner, and you are just a normal kid to stack up, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of show don't tell done right. Love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So she, Maki, goes for a walk. There's a hole in the wall. She drops the important picture to her. And this is, again, like this is good paneling here on the sort of bottom right. Like, this, it's not super special, but it's still really, like, interesting and good. Like, the way it's set up, the way it overlaps, the way the page goes through the panels. Like, good stuff. Like, seriously, a step above normal paneling. Like, this is still one of this author's talents, for sure. It goes in the hole, and she's like, oh, no. And then she's like, I have to go into the hole, I guess, which is a weird thing. And then, again, like, cool designs of these fantasy characters. Like, what's this guy's deal? Like, he looks like a PS2 adventure platformer character.
You'd think these guys were meant for Mama Yu Yu, but they didn't get to show up. So that the author's just like, let's put him in this, you know?
Yeah.
I do like him. Yeah, this guy, you're right. This dude does look like a mascot character for a Sony console.
He looks like Ratchet, right? Like,
yeah,
he like looks Ratchet. Like the is it Lombax? Lombax, yeah.
Yeah, he does look like Ratchet. That's exactly what he looks like.
Like a cross between Ratchet and Jack from Jack and Daxter. Like a little bit of
each. Yeah, yeah, honestly.
Yeah, some other, one really good visual thing here that I think is cool is that we actually see like an upside down reflection in the ball of this guy's staff of her face, which I think is awesome. Like, again, stuff in here is still really good, the visual stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. That's cool.
Yeah, so they kind of, they're like, oh, we summoned you. You're supposed to be it's the typical isekai plot, which is, this is where it kind of loses me, where it's like, why are we doing all of this?
And these end names, right?
These names are weird, and this is like the Mama Yu Yu thing where everyone's name was like bad and weird. It's like, this guy, it's NPZ, NPithu, NPisio, NPishian, NPisilio.
I think it's a joke we're not understanding.
I think this has to be a Japanese pun that we don't get. Yeah, I agree. Like PZ, Pithu, Pisio, and I don't know. I don't know what the joke is. If you know the joke, like, get in the comments.
Maybe in like fantasy games, that this is like a common like name type or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm trying to crack a joke I don't even understand. Yeah.
There's also a joke here that's really funny where they introduce themselves and he says, like, I'm in Pisi, the great sage. It's like, I'm in Pithu, the swordsman. And they say, I'm in Pisio, the thief. I'm in Pishian, the thief. I'm in Pilico, the thief. And they're just, like, which I think is a funny joke, which I like.
Yeah, that is a good joke. That's a very good joke. I like how in Pisilio is a thief despite looking like Kratos.
He looks like a
buff as hell. He doesn't look like a thief at all.
Yeah, he's just like the three thieves, one swordsman, and a thing. So, and they give this kind of the typical isekai, like, summon us to help defeat the dark chaos dragon. here it comes. Like, you have to, you know, cast the holy light spell. Again, like, the emotion and the character stuff, like, he's great. It's like, the holy light of judgment is pure light that man receives. If you don't hurry, we'll all be brutally slaughtered. Quickly, now, hurry, recite the incantation. And she's just like, I said it. Let me go.
I did like this moment because it's like she put her head in a wall and then this old man is absolutely freaking out at her.
It's like, just say the spell. Yeah, it's weird, but it's weird because it doesn't really fit with what the rest of the story is about, but it is kind of interesting on its own, right? Like,
it's funny, yeah, because they just scream at her and then they run away. They're just like, yeah, she's got, like, this.
She was considerate enough not to involve us in her technique. It's like, if that's the case, let's get out of here. It's like, wait, what is that even? It's like, don't leave me. oh, I might need to take this call. Hold on just a sec. Somebody's calling.
Oh, yeah, no worries.
Hello. Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I can take that now. -033-108 Okay, I got that number. Thank you. Yep. Thank you. Okay, sorry. That was the inspector guy giving me my case number. He said he would call me.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. No worries, man.
Cool. Okay, I'll start this back up. Okay. Yeah, so she, they run away. She's like, please stop. I don't want to die. I'll apologize. I'm sorry. We get this, again, like a cool design dragon shows up. Like, you know, it's typically Isekai stuff, but it's an interesting design dragon. And then we get the real hero shows up. And this is where I was kind of like, this happened in Mama Yu Yu also. Like, right? Like, this kind of is exactly the start of Mama Yu Yu, where the guy's not the hero people think he is, and then another dude shows up and does the hero stuff and gives him his powers. So
here's the funky part, right? I don't think any of this fantasy stuff actually matters. What matters is the relationship between the sisters, right?
Well, and that's why it's such a weird thing is that there's like 10 pages in the center of this that's sort of like you didn't need it, like, at all, really. Like,
yeah honestly, it adds nothing really aside from just like a fun little side adventure to the plot, you know, and I had a good time with it, but it really doesn't influence the plot in any way because it's all about the sisters.
For sure
could have just been stuck in a regular wall, but
yeah. This guy also is designed exactly like a Mama Yu Yu character. Like the pants, the tall boots, and the like pouch. Like, I think everyone had those character designs from Mama Yu Yu. So.
You know, he's like a typical JRPG protagonist design.
Yeah, for sure.
In that he is just extra, you know?
Yep, for sure. And so then we get, we're kind of back on the outside, and the professor that the older sister was going to meet is here.
Einstein too, yeah.
Basically Einstein, yeah, which is, and this is where I'm like back into it, like, okay, this is fun and funny again. Like, I enjoy this.
The fantasy world was goofy enough that I was just on board with this trans-dimensional wall bullshit. It just worked because you already took me to fantasy world with the Impasilios of the world.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, there's a posterior, and they're like, professor, it's unbelievable. There's no upper body. The girl's upper body isn't on the other side of the wall. And he gets the like whoosh, like ka-tunk, like I can hear my steps is connecting.
Did you notice he on the wall, like his equations, he wrote E=mc² like 3 times. And then sine, cosine, tangent.
And like, yeah, EI+1 equals, like, also the things that they talk about are like high school level math, like stuff that I studied like senior year, right? Like that's like it's not super important.
Like,
we'll bring it up.
I like how the author is like, I don't know anything about math, but I want to make the characters geniuses. Yeah. Let's just go with it. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, just spout out a bunch of bullshit and I'll ride with you.
Yeah,
you
know? It's like, I'll just use the bullshit that I know. And it's like, oh yeah, I know this bullshit too. So, you know, she gets her picture back. My sister is, it's like, you know, oh no, now that I feel relieved, I really need to pee. And this is where it's again, it's like a little weird. It's like, did this need to be the thing? I don't know.
We went out, like, you have to accept that this is just weird and bizarre at this point because of everything. I guess.
True, yeah. The like media shows up and are like reporting everything. And they finally get like a speaker to like talk to her, and they're like, Mari, have you consumed any water or food? He's like, I did drink something. It's like, if you have, it'll be problematic. Your upper body is currently in a different world while your lower body remains in this one. Your body's connecting two dimensions that should be separated by that wall. If matter from that world enters this one, it becomes equivalent to non-existent air code reality. He's like, oh, let me tell you in simple terms. Like, I need you to hold your pee. If you urinate, it will cause both worlds to collapse. Do you understand? It will take approximately 3 hours to find a solution. if you understand, please move your right foot. I don't know.
It's the second manga this year where a character desperately needed to hold their piss for a long time.
Oh god, what's the first? Am I ghost forgetting
fixers.
Something?
Ghost fixers.
Yeah. Yep.
Also a great piss story over there.
Yeah. So the sister shows up, you know, she's kind of talking to her friend about, I don't know, stuff that doesn't super matter about her sister, doesn't understand her and stuff. And
like, yeah, doesn't understand, yeah, like, why isn't my sister so cold to me? And her friend's like, your sister talked you up a lot when she had to do her project in class. And she's like, oh, I thought she hated me. It's like, oh, no such thing. Yeah, and her sister is like a genius, but not really emotionally adept at understanding like how to make people happy or how to tonality and any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the typical sort of like, I'm a genius, but the one thing the genius doesn't understand is other people. Like, this is, it's been run to the ground. Like, we know these characters pretty well.
Sure.
This is they like come
one thing,
in and there's
one
a,
thing to mention I guess from this is her friend offers her coffee. She says, sorry, I don't drink coffee, it gives it fucks with my digestion. Now we're in this scene. Let's apply the Fibonacci sequence,
which is
okay.
Like, that's
got it.
Just a series of numbers, like it's not a thing. Like, yeah, which is like goofy enough to where it's like, if you don't
really
understand
good.
It, maybe it sounds cool. I feel like most people maybe know what the Fibonacci sequence is. So if you
do
know,
think
you're
most
like,
people
well, that's
know that. No,
maybe not.
But you know, I think anyone who plays Balatro knows it.
Or I mean, like, it was like a thing online, like in the past 10 years of like the Fibonacci sequence and the perfect circle and all that stuff. So our perfect spiral.
I do love that. Just they're just saying words, you know, they're just saying
the page before this that I didn't grab. They literally are just saying science things that don't have anything to do with like it's just gibberish.
The Fibonacci sequence. Your reasoning is sound, but that alone isn't enough. And she pulls out the black coffee and chugs it.
Yeah.
I really thought she was going to shit herself because
that's what,
like,
I thought too.
Coffee doesn't make you piss. And she said you had digestive issues. That implies.
Yeah. Well, and caffeine.
Caffeine
maybe stimulates you to pee a little bit more. Like tea would have done it, right? Like tea is a diuretic, which technically makes you pee.
Okay.
So maybe coffee is too. I don't know enough about coffee. Like, again, something to point out is like, this left page here is a really interestingly paneled page. Like, even though the stuff that's happening is, you know, whatever, like the sort of cut-ins, the misshapen stuff, the sort of full half of a half page, thumbs up over there. Like, just to point out, like the paneling here is still really cool and interesting. So I'm glad
and,
that
you know,
we're not losing that.
Like this badass moment, right? She chugs her coffee and the professor's like, this can't be, I see. That's Eeyore. And then she gives like this badass, like Top Gun-esque thumbs up. And this is all like what her plan is to piss herself. Like that's what all this badass fanfare is set up for, which is perfect.
I also like X squared plus Y squared plus Z squared. It's like, or yeah, you know, whatever.
The good old mental process.
X equals Y. Like not a mathematical equation, by the way. I wish I could read what this says. Man, I bet it's funny too. But yeah, so this is where it kind of gets back on the rails for me. Is like once we're here, I'm like, now the series works. The story works to the end for me. So, you know, it's like whenever I need help, my sister always comes to mind. She's always been there for me. I should be able to handle things on my own. It's like she'll be gone soon. I need to figure it out. And she just kind of is crying, and then everything rumbles. The sister is like, Mari. She's like, and he just says like, I'm no longer needed here. Clear out. It's just like the story doesn't need more weird shit. I'm gone.
I love it. It's like character exit immediately.
Yeah, he's just exit stage left.
The hero's ultimate power is knowing how to read the room.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah. again, more sort of pages that I think are paneled really, really well. And interestingly, the sort of sizes here and the four panels. She's like, it's, you know, she does the big sister stuff. She's like, it's okay now. I brought a countermeasure and then science mumbo jumbo bullshit. And Maki cries and it's like, summarize the mass of natural numbers remaining invariant, so there's nothing to worry about anymore. And she's like, that may be the point, but not the point. I don't even understand what you're saying. What you're saying is probably correct, but that's not the real issue, is it? That's not what this is really about, is it? If they show me peeing on TV, I'll never be able to show my face at school again. It's like, she's like, she's 12, right? So she's like, I'm going to be embarrassed. This is the end of the world for me.
Anyone would feel the way she feels,
yeah,
I would argue.
Yeah, for sure. And this is where we kind of get things said a little bit more clearly, is like, you're so smart, your face never changes, I never know what you're thinking, I've always been afraid that you actually think I'm stupid, annoying, and a burden. It makes me anxious, it makes me so anxious. You know, and she's crying, and then we get Maki Mari, one of them, he's like, I did too. She's like, what? He's like, you're a nation, you're like, I peed. Like, I peed, so it'll be fine. And she does more science bullshit. She's like, this is rational. I do not feel embarrassed. He's like, sorry. It's like, this is about,
while she feels super embarrassed about it. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And this is where she finally kind of gets the, she also clearly is kind of embarrassed. He's like blushing here.
Oh,
she's
insanely
like,
embarrassed. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to rationalize myself into not being embarrassed. She's like, sorry, that's not what I meant. This isn't about principles and theories. She's like, even without logical reasoning, like, you're my little sister. Like, I'm here to help you, of course.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm sad about saying goodbye. You know, it's like, this is where the kind of the heart to heart moment in a, you know, in a rom-com or in a drama moment where they all pour it out and it kind of all gets resolved.
Yeah, the sweet stuff, it actually came together despite the middle of it, being fantasy goofs. Right?
Yeah, which is exactly what I was saying, where it was like, the story around that middle section is great. Like, it's super interesting and like presented in an interesting way, like stuck in the wall, embarrassed to pee. Like, I think that's all kind of like good stuff, good, interesting angle to take. The middle stuff still just throws me off, but yeah, I don't know.
I still like the middle stuff. I think it's still funny and goofy and like I vibed with it, but I still think it would have been a stronger, like, emotional story without it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, it's weird, it has some good stuff, it's interesting, but the story's kind of better without it. We get like a little kind of epilogue afterwards. They're like, it's like an old lady frantically gathering her laundry. Like, embarrassing. It's like, it never aired on television because the professor destroyed their cameras. And then he gives us like a rights definition of these laws. None of that matters. People are all about the heart. Like, he's the, you know, old guy of the manga series.
We need more people like this Professor Einstein too over here. People are about the heart.
Yeah,
destroy their cameras. How did the media even go into this?
I don't, it's just one of those weird things that happens. She's like, yeah, my sister continues to win Nobel Prizes. Like, I'm 18. Nothing extraordinary has happened since then. Not that such bizarre things would happen very often anyway. And with that, the story of my sister, my stuck button, me ends here. And then we get like, hey. He's like, excuse me. I dropped my pen on your side. He's like, a pen? It's like, oh, thank goodness. Someone's there. He's like, sorry to trouble you, but could you pass it to me? And she's like, pass it through and looks. And then we get like, and she kind of looks at us like, that's even possible. And she says, oh, it's like, hey, did you cut your hair? I think this is from the person on the other side.
Yeah, no, she looks at you, the audience, because this is the piece of paper
that
is being drawn on.
Okay, yeah. I somehow didn't make that connection until you said that. But yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah,
yeah. It was kind of a fun little meta ending.
Yeah, and she's there, just talking to a friend over here who we see. So I didn't even think about that. But
the only part that doesn't make sense about that final page is that the hole in the wall shifted perspective, but whatever.
Well, it also could be more that she's talking to the author, not necessarily to the reader, but to the author, because they have the drawing pen and the eraser and stuff down here. So some meta, something like that.
I mean, the hole in the wall that she's looking through is at her. Oh, actually, it does make sense. Never mind. I take it back.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it does make sense. I liked it. I thought it was ultimately a good one. One little funny beat is, if you go back a few pages, is like the neighbor who, after they're stuck in a wall, she just looks horrified.
Is that this has happened? Like, whoa!
She is like more stunned than anyone.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why she's this alarmed. Like, she's like, she has a cold sweat down her sweater. Like, it's like her clothes are sweating.
It's two high school girls. It's not that scary. Like, it's fine. Yeah. It shouldn't be this scary. But I don't know.
I mean, she's the one who went through all of this shit.
But maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe that's the story. It's the old lady.
The sequel story.
Yeah, I like this. I really hope that this author, that Hayashi, can find the right idea, because I think if they get the right idea, they're good enough to like grab people and be really popular, or at least, you know, popular enough to stay working on the same series, not get it canned and stuff. So
and you got to see some of the paneling that they're so good at.
Yeah, it's in here.
You know? Yeah.
It's in here.
And throughout, but like, especially at the end, you get to see that creative little meta joke with the panels.
Yeah, meta joke with the panels looking through. And I mean, even just the little stuff, like you can like even just pages like this, right, where it's like, this is different than a lot, you know, like most manga panels you read, right? Like the small with an insert, you know, insert and cut, like a double insert here. Like this page is different than, you know, I would probably say I've probably never seen a manga page paneled like this before, because it's unique.
Yeah.
There probably has been somewhere, right? But I haven't seen it. So
like the text working across two panels in this page, like at the very top, you see the middle panel where she's sticking out of the wall, and the left one is like, those could be both individual panels. And the text makes sense in both. I don't know. They like share the text in a cool way.
Yeah, that's what this author does a lot of, is this sort of like one, like things crossing over from one panel to another. Yeah, there was another example of it. Trying to remember where it was. It's here, right? Well, this one that I mentioned, right? Where the paper kind of is here, it's crossing over on this corner, and then it blows, and it's blowing through here, and she's watching it, and this is a really good...
Yeah, like, that's very cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, cool series, or a cool one-shot. I'm hopeful that they'll find something. I really hope they do, because I do think that they have a unique talent, and they're a good storyteller, just maybe less weird stuff, like, pick one idea.
It's like a weird thing, because, like, I think the weird stuff was good, too. It's just that...
But not together.
It's like it undercut their bigger talent, which is the emotional drama of it all.
Yeah. Well, so here's a question then, because I think actually maybe what this is I think it's hat on a hat, like you mentioned. Is this better if, let's say, there's no fantasy world, but there is the goofy professor, or alternatively, if there's not the goofy professor part, but there is the fantasy world, and it's only one weird idea instead of both of them and the stuck in the wall thing?
I like the goofy professor. I would keep him and I'd ditch the fantasy world.
Yeah, if we're gonna pick the better version. I think that version is what works. Because you're like, oh, haha, goofy professor. It still focuses on the sisters. It still focuses on stuck in a wall. That's the better version of this, I think. But yeah, so.
And I would reintroduce the teacher in Act 3. Because I thought he was interesting as well.
yeah, as a callback. Cool. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit of news. Just barely, not too much. Anything else on this one, Gautam, on... My sister, no, my fun, stuck though. Butt, and me.
No, it's a fun, funny one shot. And it's I think we feel very similarly on this as how we did with Mama Yu Yu, where it's like, it's like a unpolished gem,
like almost, you know, I mean? There. Yeah, like it's just almost there, and it has some really exceptional things, but it's not quite there yet. But this one is maybe a little better than Mama Yu Yu. It's just less is more. Less is more for this author, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Cool. Just a couple of minor news things here. Takapi's Original Sin anime starting in April. I think we got a little teaser trailer for that one.
I ain't watching that, dude.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm not doing that again. That's a
dude. That was a brutal. It was a good read.
It's great. It was brutal, right? I would highly suggest people give it a read or watch the anime. I think it is excellent. It is also like brutal. Yeah, it is very sad. It's kind of like a. It's like anime Schindler's List would be my best comparison. It's like, does Schindler's List end on a high note? Oh. Yes. Is it also full of some of the most awful, like, you know, terrible actions that humans have ever done? Yeah, also that. Like, this is kind of the same thing.
It's anime Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible, but very well executed. I think people will see that, and hopefully that's a good one. We also got trailers for Witch Hat Atelier and Gachi Akuta. So those are coming. Those are series we've talked about here before. Of course, we have the Gachi Akuta discussion on the page we've been doing.
I saw the Gachi trailer. Looked fucking fantastic.
Looks good.
Bones is match made in heaven. You know, it's like,
yep.
It, and accidentally a pun, huh? But either way, what did you think of the Witch Hat trailer? I haven't seen that one yet. Was, did it look good?
I am concerned for it.
Oh, no. Okay, already not a good sign.
Well, and it's not really the anime studio's fault. I will say that all of the scenes they showed in the trailer were from the very first episode, which I think is maybe more concerning than any style or anything that they might do. My big concern is that, for me, the biggest draw and appeal of Witch Hat Atelier is that it is the most fantastically paneled manga, comic, anything I have ever read. Like, it's just, even as good as we talk about this guy being for Mama Yu Yu, Witch Hat is 17 levels better than that. It is just the best thing ever. And how do they translate that to anime? I don't know. And is Witch Hat as magical as it feels to read when you're watching it on screen without all those cool paneling and transitions and visual ideas going on? Or is it just kind of a pretty good series with, you know, a pretty good series with cute girls and interesting magic and kind of a dark mystery? Like, is,
can I be
don't
honest?
Know.
You can't replicate that part of it. It's impossible. I think you have to supplement a part that only animation can do, that manga can't.
Yes.
Which is have phenomenal music.
The music is an angle, yeah. I mean, I could also see something where, like, you know, a lot of the panels in Witch Hat are very kind of storybook-like, where it's, you're reading the page of a manga, but it also looks like a storybook, or it's a page being turned. I think they could maybe latch onto that and have, you know, like, visual, you know, scene transitions be kind of storybooky, like maybe something like that they could do. But I hope that it's at least of a quality where people will go and check out the manga, and it's not so kind of boring and plain that people don't realize that this is like the, like, see, I'm not even kidding, the best paneled comic book of all time. Like, it's insane how good the panels are in this. Like, I cannot stress how good this is and how fantastic and magical and what a huge core part of that series I think it is.
Yeah, I completely agree. Witch Hat is the best at this, for sure. I think the only thing that came close in, I think what I felt was like art, was Berserk. And The Promised Neverland.
Oh, really?
It had a lot of good, the author was like a classically trained artist or something.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So it makes sense.
I've wiped my brain of Promised Neverland, which I read like 100 chapters of and thought it was awful after they left the school. The only other thing I would think that I think does things that are as interesting or as cool is the Scott Snyder Court of Owls. You've ever read that on a physical thing, they do some things with panels and pages in there that are absolutely insane, that are so cool. That's the only thing I've seen that I think is on the level of Witch Hat, but Witch Hat is doing it like, you know, like every week in a black and white format, so it's a little bit different. But I just
honestly,
Court of Owls,
you can tell with like the first like freaking 10 pages of Court of Owls exactly what we're talking. It's at the very beginning,
and
like,
that's
it's a hallucination sequence.
Yeah, so, that's right, I forgot to start with that. Yeah, that's Greg Capullo is the artist there, and Scott Snyder. It's old now, you know, like probably almost over 10 years old, but it's very good.
So. I'm glad you referenced one of the few Batman comics I can speak on.
Yeah, I mean, that Scott Snyder Court of Owls run was a resurgence of Batman comics, I'll say, because it came out around the same time, like right after Dark Knight, what's the second book movie? The Dark Knight?
the Batman? The Nolan movie?
The Nolan movie. What's the second one called?
Oh, The Dark Knight.
It's just called The Dark Knight. Yeah. I was like, is it Dark Knight Rises? Is the third one The Dark Knight?
That's
the
third one. And then there's The Dark Knight Returns, which is a comic.
Which is a comic that's bad. Yeah. Or no, The Returns is good. Strikes Again is bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of Batman stuff there. Okay, cool. That's about it for news. Let's talk about one more thing.
And real quick, before we go into the one more thing, Bruce, there is a... no, leave that up. Leave that up.
Oh, okay, sure.
Little mouse. There is this thing I saw on Netflix that's Batman, a Ninja versus
Two.
The Yakuza.
Yes,
League.
The second one came out recently, I think.
Is that the sequel to one that
it's
already
a sequel
exists?
To Batman Ninja.
I just wanted to bring it up in case you didn't know about it. You think it's worth watching? Is it good?
I never watched Batman Ninja. Because I should. I think I would probably have a fun time with it. What I know Batman Ninja is that the English, I guess, dub of that, they were not given a script. So the story that they tell in the English dub and the English sub and the Japanese version are not completely different, but like substantially different.
What do you mean they weren't given a script? So they were just winging it?
I think they gave, I think that the production of it, I think, was troubled. And I believe that they gave them sort of like, well, here's kind of an outline of the script, but we don't have like the lines for you to read. That's and so insane. They okay. were like, write your own lines for it. And they did. So from what I understand okay. is that they're kind of two different stories if you watch the dub and the sub. So right, I have not checked it out. But the second one I've been seeing some clips of, and it looks fun and interesting. The Justice League is in it and stuff. So yeah.
Oh, awesome. They're all ninjas too.
Cool. Yeah. I'm my one more thing is mice. I have had in months of an extensive issue at my property where I live with these fuckers. And all I will say is my advice to you as someone who has suffered through this is that the second you hear or think you maybe hear a rodent or a mouse or a rat or whatever in your place of residence, you immediately go burnt, like you immediately go salted earth, right? Like, call an exterminator, tell the people you live with, get the act like it's the biggest deal in the world, because if you don't handle it, there are more and more. And then when you try to handle it, it gets worse. I will say in the past 2 weeks, they have pulled 8 dead mice out of my ceiling, and there are, and I still hear them up here every single day. So
they're a billion, dude.
They're so bad. And they've captured more in other people's apartments and outside, and it's bad. So if you think, oh, maybe what I heard was a mouse, like, call an exterminator immediately. Tell the people who own your property if you're renting, be like, handle it. This, do not let it go for any longer than it should be. God, these things are annoying and bad.
I experienced this, and so I didn't think you were exaggerating by any means, but when you sent me the video of just like what it sounds like, I'm like, this is worse than even I thought. This is like, how do you live like this? Because it's so annoying.
It's insane. I won't play the video just because who knows where this all goes. But Tim, this is the picture I found for you. Tell me what's your one more thing.
Yeah, so I'm going on a vacation. Initially, I was set to go see my family in India. They all live there. I was born here in the States, and my mom and my dad are in the States, but everyone else in India. So I was going to go fly over and see them because it's been like 3 or 4 years. So I'm doing it, but you know, I work in America, so I have only so much PTO. I'm doing 5 days of my own vacation in Japan, and then I am going 7 days to India to see my family. And then I am going to do the miserably brutal flight back.
India to the United States is literally the other side of the world, right? Like, that's the half the earth.
For real. Yeah. And they're 12 hours apart. So the time difference is it's 7:30 a.m. or 7:15 a.m. in India right now. It's 7:45 p.m. for us now. So it's like the opposite, to say. But yeah, the flights will be miserable and brutal, but I've done them a million times, and they just get more boring every single time. That's the cool part.
Yeah. Well,
they find a way.
Yeah. Well, you're my ask of you is, I'm going to say read Chojin X is what I think you should read on your flight, or one of your flights over or back. I think that's what you should catch up on.
That's a good call, honestly. Maybe I'll just get like the Kindle app and just download it or something, or whatever manga reader I can use.
I'll tell you about the one that I have that you can probably use for that. So that's what I'm saying.
That sounds cool. Perfect.
So stress enters our lives and leaves like a fleeting mouse. Anything else you want to mention, Gautam? Are we good to get out of here?
No, I can't wait to learn some high level maths like we learned in my sister and me.
X equals Y.
Yeah, X equals Y. No, nothing else to say. I had a good time.
Cool.
I'll catch you next time.
Yep. Hey, thanks everybody for listening or watching. Don't forget, leave us feedback, leave us comments, upvote, thumbs up, like, subscribe, all that jazz. Check out Twitter and Patreon, linked in the description. And thank you for being with us yet again this week.
Goodbye.
And don't forget to read more manga.